They're most of them are rookies, but that's okay. We'll do fine today. So Colossus and Dina and Denny are all gone, so I had a panic attack when I found out I was going to play on Sunday. But look at here. We got good people to see. Our first one is Hosanna, so I want you to stand and get your palm branches a-flying, and we'll sing Hosanna on this Palm Sunday.
If you want to march around the sanctuary waving your palm branches, feel free to do so.
Thank you.
but walking around too. Good to have you here today, and if you're visiting us, and if you've been coming just today or the last couple of weeks, a special welcome to you. Glad that you are here. And spring is coming, my friends. The robins are here, but they can't find any worms because it's too cold yet for them. So I saw them out there scratching their heads, wondering why they came up to Iowa so soon. But they're here, and so if they're here, we know warmer weather is also approaching as well. Welcome on this Palm Sunday. Glad that you could be here today. And like I said before, Pastor Bob is gone, and his wife Lisa, and then the Strucks are gone, and that's over half of the praise band, I think, here. And so we're going to be doing something a little different today. Bear with us. Pray for us. And I'm so thankful that you have got new faces up here. You've been doing a good job this morning. Thanks for being here. There are some announcements that I do want to let you know. The church council meeting has been moved up to this coming Tuesday rather than the second Tuesday of the month. And the reason for that is our illustrious president of the congregation is having surgery this month, but he doesn't want to miss out on another church council meeting, so we're going to move it up to this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock and hope that all of you members can be here. We are glad that Jeff Kyle is back with us. Jeff, it's good to see you back there. And we pray that you can speak English now that you've come from Mexico, and that we can understand what you have to say. So, gracias that you are here, whatever that means. I could say taco back, do that as well. So, glad you're here, back with us, and that everything is okay in Mexico as you came back into the States. They didn't put you in jail down there as you came across the border? Well, they didn't do that to anybody. I guess, okay, you're okay with that. Good to have you here, and just remind you that there is no Wednesday night service this week, but there is a Monday Thursday service at 6:30, and we'll also have communion with that service on Thursday night. There is a Good Friday service at 6:30 on Friday evening, and we invite you for that. And I want to thank everyone who has been a part of providing the suppers that we've been able to enjoy ever since Lent began. So thank you. That hasn't always happened. And so thank you for all of you that have been a part of that as well. Do want to let you know that there's going to be a women's Bible study that's going to be starting. It's the Gospel of Mark. It's only going to go for 6 weeks, starting on Tuesday, on the 11th of April. And everything will be there for you. If you want to sign up to be a part of that Bible study, Becky Rowe is going to be leading that study, and just be nice for her to know who's coming, and just to be aware of how many people to be looking for. That sheet is over by the secretary's window on the shelf or on the countertop there. If you're going to be a part of that, if you're one of the ladies that would like to be a part of that, please sign up there today. We'd really appreciate that. And also, there's a congregational business meeting that is going to be on the last Sunday of this month. Those of you that have reports to get in for Charlie, because she wants to get the booklets put together and have them available at least 2 Sundays ahead, so that you got time to read them, and that, you know, if you've got questions or something, to bring those up at the annual business meeting at the end of this month.
Jim?
Yes?
They will be ready the 23rd.
They will be ready the 23rd.
1 Sunday ahead, yeah.
Okay, the Sunday before. I stand corrected on that. So it gives you a little bit more time, but the sooner you get into Charlie, the better off she will be, as well as getting those books put together for you, too. Be praying for Madeline. We've been praying for her for a number of weeks. She's 2 years old, having chemo treatments. They took her off the medication for the carcinoma. She was in a medical-induced coma, and they took her off for that, and she's still in a coma. And so the doctors just don't know why she hasn't come back at this point in time. So we, as Norma said, we need a miracle here for Madeline and for the family as well. So keep that in mind, and we're going to pray right now. There's other things in your bulletin. Be mindful of them. There's the names that are in the prayer request of George Dirks and Dean Ramsey and Terry Nesson and Madeline in there. So something really good to put on your refrigerator at the magnet if you kind of go like, how many times do you go to the refrigerator throughout the week? Dale? Two times a week? Is that really true, Pat? Dale, we're in church. You should not be lying. But the refrigerator is always a good place to have little notes to be reminded of if you need to do that. And so let us pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for everyone that has come through the doors here today, that have come to hear about Jesus and what he's done for us. And today, Lord, mindful of some of the things that he had to go through, that he endured. Not because had to, it's because he wanted to. He volunteered for what he knew what was ahead of him. We're going to just get a little snapshot of that here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the people that are singing here this morning with the absence of Strux and the Flosses here today. And I just thank you, Lord, that the flavor that is here is a good flavor. And the excitement as you come through the doors and just seeing everyone today is just wonderful. Lord, we bring before you the people that are friends of ours, some that we don't even know, but we pray for them with the things that they are going through. And a lot of times, it's a ripple effect. If somebody's going through cancer, we know, Lord, that it ripples out and it affects a lot of other people in the family as well. And so we just pray for the one that is going through the treatments and going through upcoming surgeries, some that are in the hospital, Lord, may they know that you are there with them some way. And maybe you will send someone to them that they are reassuring to them that it's really you, Lord, that is working in them and through them. And that's why they came to see them today or this week. Be with those that are here, Lord, that know these people. And it's just a hard thing to hear about that people are suffering and not doing well or what they would like to do. And you've been a part of this for centuries, thousands of years of helping people and coming alongside them in times like these. So we just ask this because we know, Lord, that there's no one else that can do what you can do. So may you bring that miracle. So may you bring that encouragement where we see you at work in hearts and lives of people. Thank you for this morning. We commit it all into your hands, and we're grateful that we can be here today. We love you, Jesus, and we want to serve you with our whole hearts each and every day. We pray in Jesus' name.
Oh,
before we take communion today begins this way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us have a time of silence whereby you can go one-on-one with the Lord this morning. Confess the sins that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind and to your heart here today. And ask him to forgive you, as well as praise him for the forgiveness which he grants to us when we confess our sins to him. So let's take some time reflecting and do some self-examination in our own lives here this morning. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your rule and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen. If we really were honest here this morning, which I hope we are, you know, if it really comes to confessing your sins, it'd take a whole lot more time than what we've just had, wouldn't it? We could be here probably hours. But because you have a pastor that wants to get done with the service within an hour, we can't do that. But we do want you to know that it's important to talk to the Lord and admit where we fail, and that we need him in our lives, regardless. So with that, we'll sing the next song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
I'm gonna ask the instruments to not play on the second verse. I just wanna hear your beautiful voices. So we're gonna sing three verses of Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and you know it, I'm sure, so we're not gonna have any instruments on the second verse, so we can hear each other sing.
Oh,
can stand as long because everybody else I'm asking to stand as we hear where God's word comes to us today from the book of Matthew, the New Testament, Matthew 26, verses 1 through 5. So it's not very long. Matthew 26, verses 1 through 5. Thank you, praise team. And now you can relax. Hopefully. Matthew 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be, what? Crucified." What does that mean, to be crucified? Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. Lord, as we have heard your word here this morning, I also ask you to help me to preach your word in a way that brings us into the sandals of those that were there that day and heard these words from Jesus. May we have a meaningful time today, allowing your word to speak to our hearts and to change us, where we are different when we leave today than the way we came in, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. With the palm branches today, we know it's Palm Sunday, and just a reminder that Jesus, as he rode in on a donkey into Jerusalem, remember, he was met with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of chanting that was going on by all kinds of people and kids, that they were shouting out kind of three things: Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and Hosanna in the highest. And they laid down the palm branches on the road as he's riding on his donkey. They laid down their cloaks on the road. It had to be an amazing kind of a picture that people had of that day. And to realize that this is the beginning of the Holy Week. We call it the Holy Week because this is really the last week that Jesus has before he's crucified. And we look at some of the things that are going on at this time in history. So according to Matthew, we're going to be looking at what Matthew's account is here today. We find that Jesus did a few things that, you know, in the beginning of that week, of this week known as Holy Week, that caught the attention of a lot of people, but most of all, it probably caught a lot of attention of the Sadducees or the Pharisees. And, you know, Caiaphas as the high priest would probably be the one that really took notice of some of the things that Jesus did this week. One of those things that he did is as he went into the temple area, and he saw that there were people there, they called the money changers, because people came from different parts of the country and they brought in their money, and then the money changers would take their money as they were buying sacrifices for the Passover that they would that the priests would do in the temple. But they would also shortchange the people in what they would give them back. And you notice that in our text today it says that the ones that Jesus turned over the benches and the seats and the tables of the money changers, the ones who were buying doves. It's an interesting little note there. Who was it that bought doves for the sacrifice during the Passover? The poor people. It's interesting that it doesn't talk about those that were buying lambs or any other kind of a bigger animal type of a sacrifice, but those who came that were poor to buy doves for the sacrifice, they probably had to scrape to get the money together just to buy a dove. They're poor people. You're absolutely right. Jesus also, as he turned over the tables of the money changers and the benches, but it says that he also healed the lame and the blind that came to him in the temple area during that day or those days that he was there. He did some pretty incredible things. And it would have caught the attention of a lot of the people who were there, because Jerusalem, during the Passover, it swelled like it does here at the Lakes region, the Great Lakes of Iowa, during the 4th of July. How many people do you think come here in the summer on the 4th of July?
Too many.
You know, if you're driving a car, you know, you can't get anywhere quick. But Jerusalem is like that. There are thousands of people who come to Jerusalem during the Passover and before the Passover. And you kind of wonder, there's no Holiday Inns or American Inns or anything like that for people to stay in. If they are, they're filled. It makes you wonder kind of like where they stayed. So some probably brought their tents. Well, they stayed with some family, but not everybody had family that lived in Jerusalem. So, they're kind of scattered all over the place. And people would say, Kaiyai, where did all these people come from? And their eyes were focused on the festivities and what went along with this versus the real reason why they should be there is to worship the Lord. It says in our text here that when Jesus had finished saying all these things, what things? What did he say? Well, I kind of went back into Matthew few things that Jesus spoke about during this week before he was crucified. And we'll find that some of the things that he said, I don't have all of them here, but he talked about, paying taxes. There were people who questioned him about, do we pay taxes to Caesar? And he said, well, bring me a denarius. Bring me a coin. And he says, whose picture is on this coin? And of course, it was Caesar. Well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but then give to God what is God's. And the people were amazed at that kind of a reply that he gave. So he talked about taxes. By the way, did you have your taxes done yet? Or are you still waiting till, the 17th of this year? It used to be the 15th. He talked about being fruitful as a follower of his, as a Christian. He talked about ways in which people can be rejected from God's kingdom. And you don't want to be a part of that crowd. You can reject God's kingdom by doing absolutely nothing and still think you're a pretty good person. Because you go like, well, I just haven't really sinned. Well, just by saying that or thinking that, guess what? You just lied. We all sin. We all sin. We have sinned since last Sunday that we were here. He talked about the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? I thought he gave us 10 commandments. Aren't we supposed to keep all 10? Jesus says here the greatest commandment is which one?
First one.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. On and on it goes. He's quoting Deuteronomy. And that verse in Deuteronomy, it sums up all the 10. Because God gave the 10 commandments. You can sum it up in one word. And what's that word? Love. Love God. The second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself. How many of you love yourselves? Well, that's not right. It can't be me. Just listen to somebody talk and see how many times they talk about themselves. Everything else is around them.
and really left it around the Lord. Jesus talked about the last days or the end times, the end of the world. Some of the signs that we will see when before he comes again. He talks about unbelief and he uses parables, a lot of different parables that the main moral of the story was a parable. In one of them, it was like separating the sheep from the goats. You can be a goat and you'll be asked to go to the left, which is the way of the wicked and the way to go to hell. The sheep go to the right and they enter into the kingdom of God. And so there's going to be an accountability that we will face one day. And I know you want to say, I want to hear him say, you've gone to the right. I don't want to hear the word left. Go to the left. I want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. Not a goat. So Jesus knows what his faith is as he's talking to his disciples and those that will hear him in the temple courts, in the area of the temple during this week. And Matthew 26:1 ends by saying, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, at the very end it says, the Son of Man, which is him, will be handed over to be crucified. Jesus knows that he is headed in that direction, that he will be crucified. One of the worst ways to die in history is to be crucified. And that's what's going to happen to Jesus. So today we're looking at just a little snapshot of the plot. Of the plot that is being concocted. And within that plot, they want to arrest Jesus and they want him crucified. Crucifixion, which also means death. You do not get crucified without dying. If you think you can live through it, forget it. It ain't gonna happen. Why did they have to break the legs of the thieves on the cross? It was because it was getting close to the Sabbath day. And to make sure that all the criminals that were crucified were dead, they broke the legs of them except for Jesus, because the centurion who saw him, he knew he was already dead. And they made sure because one of the soldiers took the spear and plunged it in the side of Jesus, and out came water and blood, a separation of the two. If you're living, they don't separate. So who's involved in this plot? You might find this very interesting. People that you didn't think would ever be associated with this kind of a plot are. You have the chief priests, the elders of the people. You'd have the Sanhedrin, which are made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but they're all religious people. People that the people would look up to in their communities and would say, like, there's no way that these religious ones would do this to this man, you know, as Jesus, who does nothing but good things. And has done wonderful things in a lot of different places where he has been. And in that plan, there's also Caiaphas, who is the high priest, and his father-in-law is Annas. Annas was the high priest, but he was a corrupt high priest, and he lost his position, and they gave it then to Caiaphas, his son-in-law. Which is something that's unheard of, because in order to be a high priest, the person who was a high priest had to die before he could get a new one. And here they have some collusion going on here between Caiaphas and his father-in-law, Annas, and it all is geared towards Jesus. They want him dead because the people are starting to follow him and place their faith in him and not them. And when Jesus turned over the tables of the money changers, it affected the Sadducees, which Caiaphas would be the head honcho of the Sadducees. It takes away their money. So they get a cut out of the people who came to the temple to buy sacrifices. And the money changers took their share, but they also know they had another share they had to give to the Sadducees or the high priest. They got their cut too. So they're really ticked off at Jesus. Who does he think he is to come into this city of ours that we are governing and we are over and to do these kinds of things that go against everything we believe or teach the people? It says here that this group of people that are plotting to arrest Jesus, that they're also afraid of those that came into town, into Jerusalem at that time for the Passover. And they said, like, you know, if we get Jesus, we have to do it in kind of a stealthy way, where no one really knows that it's us behind it. And so they said, well, we'll wait till after the Passover because there's too many people here. And they're afraid of a riot breaking out if they try to do something, if they try to arrest Jesus during the Passover. And so that's kind of where they said, okay, we'll just wait until after the Passover. Now, don't forget, remember Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead? What did these guys want to do to Lazarus? They wanted to kill him too. Because many Jews were starting to believe in Jesus and place their faith in him because of Lazarus coming back from the dead. And so they go like, well, we not only want Jesus, but I think we need to kill Lazarus too. And that's the plot that's going on here. Evil, remember this, evil comes from unexpected places. We hear this every now and then. We heard it just in the last week. The shooting in Tennessee. Little kids, teachers who want to teach them good things, who do not have any weapons in the building. And in walks somebody who shoots out the front door windows, comes inside with guns, and kills six people. Three kids and three adults. Evil comes from unexpected places and at unexpected times. It could happen here in this church. How many times or years have you come to church and never had to think once about somebody coming through the door and start shooting at whoever they want to shoot at? Who'd be the first person they probably want to shoot? But I got a good arm, and I can duck really fast, but may not be fast enough. May not be able to throw the Bible at the person that far either. But evil comes, you think of all the places where we hear about terrible things going on in this world, evil comes from unexpected places. Whoever would have thought that one of Jesus' own disciples would betray him? Judas Iscariot. He is the one that changed the whole picture with this plot. Remember, they wanted to wait till after Passover. Who shows up when they're planning this plot? It's Judas. And he kind of goes, I kind of hear that you guys want to get Jesus. How much would it give me? What's it worth to you? given to you. 30 pieces of silver. The price of a slave. Judas says, it's better than nothing, I'll take it. Who better could show these guys what Jesus looked like or where he would be at than Judas Iscariot? Judas knew that Jesus and the disciples would meet at night in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew he'd be there. It's dark. They'd have just torches that were there. But then Judas would say, I tell you what, the guy who I go and kiss, that's Jesus. You'll know exactly who you need to arrest. And that's just what he did. They tried to kill Jesus a couple times before this. They never worked because he was able to slip away or however that happened. But his time hadn't come yet. But now his time has come. And it's one of his own. What better person could you get than one of his own? They make no mistakes. Remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? Peter tried to protect Jesus, and what did Peter do? He became a ninja turtle. Not really a turtle, but he took out a sword and he cut off one of the ears of the men that came, part of the group that came to arrest him. Malchus. And did Jesus go like, attaboy, Peter. Good job. He should have swung a little bit lower, or a little bit harder, or quicker, because then he could have probably took off his head. Did Jesus say that? No. Jesus picked up the guy's ear, because that's all that fell off of his body. And he put it back on his side of his head and healed him. That's the kind of Savior we have. And then he was bound and taken to the high priest's palace, Caiaphas. Cheryl Hesinius, are you here?
Yes.
Did you get to Caiaphas' house or see it?
Yes, we went to his area.
Did you go in there?
Yes.
You see the hole in the floor?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It is truly amazing.
I'm talking about that. In Jerusalem today, they have Caiaphas' palace. They believe that this was his palace. It was kind of where they met. They met on a floor like this, but in the middle of the floor up front, like kind of about where I'm standing here, there's a big circle about like this, cut in the floor. There's nothing there, but it goes down to the basement. And in the basement, what was in the basement? Cells. Where they kept people that were criminals. And when it was their turn to be tried by these big-wig religious guys, they would hoist them up. They had a rope tied to a platform that was down, and then they would hoist up the person, take them out of the cell, put them on that hoist, and they'd hoist them up. And then they would try. If he was found guilty, he would stay on that little platform, and then ones who had the ropes would let go of the ropes. And down he would go. He hit rock bottom. And the floor is just rock. And sometimes those that were let go of because they were found guilty, they'd have broken legs or broken limbs. I mean, it was a mess because it's up there quite a ways, isn't it, Cheryl? I don't know if they took Jesus up that way or not. But he would have known about it. The Jews brought charges against Jesus during Holy Week of saying that he was a blasphemer, meaning he claimed to be God, and anyone in the Jewish law that claimed to be, that they would be God they were to be stoned to death. That was a capital punishment of the Jews. But the Jews did not want to do their capital punishment. They wanted the Roman way of capital punishment, because it only had to be a Roman soldier or someone with Roman authority who could give the capital punishment of crucifixion. And that's why Pilate, Pontius Pilate, comes into the picture. But even Pontius Pilate tried his best to get Jesus released. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a choice. Barabbas or Jesus, who's called the Christ. I'll let one of them go. Who do you want? Who is out in the crowds telling him who to vote for? The religious guys. If you get that choice, make sure everybody yells, Barabbas! Barabbas! And he goes, what should I do with the one who's called the Christ, Jesus? And Christ means the Messiah. And everybody said, crucify him! Crucify him! And Pilate washes his hands and says, well, okay, do with him what you want. But before they're crucified, they give the 40 lashes, but they show that they are kind people, so they take one lash off, so he gives them 39 lashes, which is still could kill you. Many people never survived 39 lashes. So keep in mind that evil never plays fair. You don't know when it's going to come or where it's going to come from, and sometimes it's going to be a surprise. But it never plays fair, because it's always dishonest, and it's a lot of lying that goes on, a lot of lies. Jesus always plays by God's rules, which is integrity, being honest, being truthful. And you do all of that because you love him. Whoever's involved. There's more to come here for Jesus. But when we look at Luke's account, remember when Luke told us that after Jesus was baptized, he went, led by the Holy Spirit, out into the desert or to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, where he didn't eat anything, he fasted, didn't drink anything for 40 days and 40 nights. And then who shows up to tempt him? The devil, or Satan. And at the very end of Luke's account there, look at Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it says that when the devil had finished all of this tempting, referring to those 40 days and 40 nights, it says, the devil then left Jesus until an opportune time. It looks as if the devil is going to accomplish his dark deeds, beginning the terrible things that are going to happen to Jesus and completing it on Good Friday when Jesus dies on the cross. It's like the devil came back. That's his opportune time. It's right here. But wait until next week. What happens a week from today? The resurrection surprises everybody. But Jesus comes back as a victor. And he proves he's alive to his disciples and to about over 500 more people as he ministers after his resurrection in a lot of different places before he's ascended into heaven. The angel said, why do you look up into the sky? The same way you saw Jesus go is the same way that he's going to come back. We will see him. We will see him again. Or we will go into the air and meet him. which way is it going to be for you? Will you meet him with arms lifted up? Or will you run and hide like a cockroach, looking for some dark place where there's no light? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the ins and the outs of what took place in the life of Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come to your table, being mindful of what we've just heard today. And it's just a little part of the whole of what Jesus endured and went through for us. So may we hear the words of Jesus today saying that you're invited to come to his table, where he told his disciples the night in which he was betrayed, "This is my body. Take and eat it. This is my blood. Drink all of it. And do this in remembrance of me." So, Lord, we take you at your word. We take you at your invitation to come if we want. And if we don't come, that's okay too. It doesn't mean that we don't love you or we don't care about you. It's just maybe not a good day to do it, or it's not what you came here to do today. But thank you for Jesus loving us the way that he has. In your name we pray. Okay. Check your neighbor to see if they're sleeping. And if they are, just raise your hand and point. I want to see who it is. Oh, okay. You're pointing at each other back there. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together before we come to the table. Let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I only know maybe one person here that could recite the Nicene Creed by heart. Kathy, right? You really have to do that. We don't have Don do it. No. But as we continue to move forward with our service here today, let us be mindful of what we have heard and the words of Jesus himself. On the night in which he was betrayed by who? Judas Iscariot. Jesus was with his disciples. He took the bread that was there and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said to them, "Take, eat." It wasn't a whole slice of bread. He just kind of picked it up. And he said, "This is my body." First time they ever heard this in their lives. "This piece of bread is your body." And he said, "Just eat it in remembrance of me." He then had his disciples take their cups. And he said to the disciples, "This is my blood shed for you. Drink it. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. And do this until I come. And so that's why we do this. We're just following the words of Jesus. So I'd like to just say that there's two stations that we have here, if you're new here today. This station here, you can come and receive the body and blood that's here. You can go back and sit down when you're done. Or you can go up to the railing up here, whoever wants to, and you can kneel. If you can't kneel, you can still stand up there and pray or whatever you want to do. And that's fine. We'll serve you up there as well. There'll be servers here as well as servers up here. In the case of the if you need gluten-free, there's a little package that you'll see of gluten-free wafers. You can have that if you need gluten-free. And if you don't, if you can't find any, we'll get you one. I know where they're at. And then if you don't want wine, if you want grape juice instead, we'll just hold your hand out like this. And we'll make sure that you get grape juice rather than wine. You know, we believe that it's important that you know what you're doing when it comes to communion. Paul says in Corinthians that some take it in the wrong way. You can take it like saying, well, I don't understand, but I'm just going to go take it because it's kind of cool, it's going to be kind of fun. I'll do it with Dad, I'll do it with Mom. We think of basically kids. We believe that you need to be old enough to understand what you're doing. And that's where confirmation comes in. And so maybe you have to wait until you get into confirmation, which would be like the 7th or 8th grade. If you finish confirmation, it's in the 8th grade. And then you can take communion after that, because we believe you understand what you're doing. So keep that in mind. And if you've got any questions about that, you can talk to me afterwards as well. But kids, you can come up front with your parents, or come up if your parents aren't here, and you'll receive a blessing by one of the servers. You come up here, I can give you the blessing type of a thing. It's just touching on the head or on the shoulder type of a thing. And you aren't able to take the sacrament. So I just kind of want you to know that ahead of time. But we sure enjoy it if you do come up. I mean, that's just fine. If you want to, it's a good thing to learn young, that you can come forward. So with that, I'll ask the servers to come. And we will prepare ourselves into giving you what the Lord has given to us.
Thank you.
serve the Lord.